This is the partner tape from Unconditional Love Fellowship for the month of February 2018. And the year begins to rush on its way. And I want to share with you today a scripture that I'm certain you know it. You've heard it many times. But I want to get into areas of it that we don't usually go. It is in Numbers chapter 6 and in verse 23. He said, the Lord is speaking to Moses and says to Moses, speak to Aaron and to his sons. And you may remember they were the high priest and priest of ancient Old Testament Israel, the sons of the tribe of Levi. And so he is saying to the high priest Aaron and to the priests, his sons, he says to them, now this is his message to them. Thus, or in this fashion, you, Aaron and sons, shall bless the sons of Israel. You, Aaron and your sons, shall say to them, now this is what they have to say. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. That was the blessing that Aaron and his sons were to say over the people. And it was every morning at the morning sacrifice, as the people went on their way into the work, this is the blessing that would be said over them by Aaron or one of his sons. Then, the last verse, this is the Lord's commentary to Moses about what has just happened. He said, so, or in this fashion, they, the sons of Aaron, shall invoke, a better translation is, put my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Now, I want you to hear what is being said, because we have concentrated on the blessing which stands in the middle of that passage, but notice again, let me say again, what comes before it and what comes after it. The Lord is saying to Moses that he wills to bless the people of Israel, the people of God in the Old Testament. He wills to bless them. And how shall that be done? He said it shall be done through the priest. And this is what the priest must say. So, the Lord would bless Israel, but he says he will do that by Aaron and his sons actually saying the blessing or the will of God in his love. And having said it, then that last part where it is the commentary of the Lord to Moses as to what has happened, he said, so in this fashion, as Aaron and his sons say these words, they will actually be putting my name on the people of God, the sons of Israel. They will be putting my name on the sons of Israel. And then I will bless them. Okay, there's so much here. And let me say this, that this text, this blessing of God, might be called the very foundational words of the promises and blessing of God. It stands there very early in the scripture, and it is telling us this is how God works. This is the key to understanding how his promises and blessings are unlocked in our lives. Stands at the head of the scripture. And so it's not only talking here about this blessing. This blessing gave rise to many others. And elsewhere in scripture, especially in the Psalms, this this blessing is quoted but applied specifically to this situation and that situation. And other promises emerge out of these words. And so when I come to all the promises of God in Scripture, they find their roots here in this passage. And the way, the key that God gives to the unlocking of this in life applies to every promise in the Scripture. Now, this is very important because so often such verses as this are said, what can I say, in a very unexpected fashion. That is, it is simply said as a part of Scripture and left there hanging as if nothing's going to happen. It's the sort of thing that we hang on the wall or put on the refrigerator and do nothing with it because it just sounds so good. It sounds so right. And we hope in some way that God will get on and do it. Whereas this passage that we've read not only gives us this incredible blessing, but it also tells us how it was to be unlocked. And also, let me quickly say, this is applicable very specifically to us, you and I, because, you see, the priesthood of Aaron and his sons was ended, very definitely ended, when Jesus died and rose again, and the blood of the new covenant, the blood of God, the blood of Jesus was shed and once and for all dealt with sin and finished with the old covenant, the law, the Levitical priesthood. And Jesus in the New Testament is called the high priest of this new covenant. And you and I, believing into him, united to him, we are the priests of the new covenant. That's all through the book of Hebrews. It's in 1 Peter. It's an undergirding fact of the new covenant. And therefore, what it was said to the priests here is said infinitely more to us because we have come to the ultimate and final covenant through the final bloodshedding, through the glorious high priest Jesus. We, the priests, are told that we are to say the promises of God, and as we say them, we actually put the name of God onto that situation, and God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then says, I then will bless. So, he gave this word of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you and so on. That is his word. He said, that's my word that I am giving as a gift. Now, I've talked about it before, but let me quickly remind you that a word in Scripture is a lot more than we think of it here in our Western 21st century world. The word in the Bible, it's both in the Hebrew Old Testament and in the New Testament, the idea of word is creative. You recognize that the entire creation, our world and our entire universe, and you in every way that we think of matter, material, physical, all came into being at the instant the word of God was spoken. That's Genesis 1, which is a series of words which God spoke. And in speaking, that which he said was thrust into physical, material visibility. And that is not just Genesis 1. All through the Scripture, it refers back to that in those terms. Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, all their host. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. I mean, that's a simple statement of creation, all coming forth out of the Word of God. Psalm 148 says the same thing. It calls upon every part of creation, and I mean every part, from blade of grass to snow and ice and rain and the waves of the sea. And it says, let them all praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. There you got it again. For he commanded with word of mouth and they were created. And it goes on, not only did it all begin with the word of God, but it continues right now. Everything material, everything physical, the New Testament says he upholds it by the word of his power. See, when the Bible speaks of word, I don't know, how do you think about a word being spoken? Just a sound passing through your body and coming out through your mouth that somehow expresses what you're feeling at the moment and sort of just goes off into the air. Well, the people of the Bible, they held a picture in their mind of a word spoken, and they saw that word as them very selves, their core being, in, shall I say, sound form, leaving them to go on a mission to do the intent that is behind the word spoken. Did you get that? I've used, and you might have heard me use it, the illustration that in our Western world we have the cartoon character where there's a balloon coming out of their mouth or hovering over them, and inside the balloon is what they're saying. And that's really a pretty good picture of how the people of the Bible understood speech and words. It was the words were, shall I say again, it was themselves. It was their core person. But now, going from them in sound form, and like that balloon in the cartoon character, and it goes with the intent of the person to accomplish exactly what they have said. And when it's done its job, it comes back, and you said, I did it, it's done. And this is behind that scripture that, again, is very popular. Speaking of God's speech, God word, in Isaiah 55:10, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven, return not thither, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so, or in the same way, shall my word, God speaking, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It, my word, shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, does that make sense? That God's word is his very self? God's word comes forth producing that which it says. In fact, it's more than producing it, as though the it is something separate. His word, what he says, he is that word, and that word actually calls forth that which he says into being. And so the word is not a sort of thing or a matter. I tell you, it's not a symbol. When I say light, that word, that sound of light, is a symbol of light, and light is there. But my words are but symbols of that. But when God speaks, it's not a symbol. When he speaks, light is in his word. And when he speaks, the light is. Big difference. And so it's not an empty word. When God speaks, it is filled with his person. It comes forth with the energy of God the Holy Spirit, and it goes forth already ising to bring into visibility that which he says. He's not sharing an idea. He is speaking what he is saying into being. And so words in the Bible are never to be thought of as abstract things. They must be thought of as something concrete. They're powerful. They vibrate with divine energy if God's doing the talking. And that you could almost see that they are a thing in themselves, except not a thing, but the very person. So when I meet with the Word of God, I am meeting with God face to face. When I meet these promises of God, when I meet that blessing and all the blessings that came out of it, I'm not just hearing something that was said and God said it, 4,000 years ago, whatever. No, I am actually in this moment, in this tick-tock, right in the middle of the tick-tock, I meet with the living God who is now speaking that blessing as an is now. And he's speaking it in all his love power into my life right now. Now that's, talk about the dynamic, living, effective Word of God. There is nothing that we can compare to that. And he says that now when he speaks, he says, when they speak this word, that is, when they take my creative word upon their lips and speak it, what are they doing? He says, they are putting my name upon the people of God to whom they speak this blessing. Well, I'm going to do it again. The names, again, we see our Western languages are so poor that they've been milked of all deep meaning. And when we go back into these ancient days, and actually in some third world countries too today, a name is equivalent to the person who bears the name. And so, like here in the West, it's much more just a name tag. It's a way we identify a living human being, a dead human being. But when I come into the scripture, the name is the person. And the name, as I've told you before, was a little sentence. It sounds on our ears when we read the Old Testament like it's just a sound, but actually within that sound there's a sentence in the Hebrew language. And that sentence described the person, many times described their destiny, that the name was a window into who they were. And so the name was held as sacred, for it was your very self. And it described you, and it was the unction within you that caused you to walk on a certain pathway. And when one spoke in the name of another, you spoke as if you were that person. When it says in the scripture that the name was placed upon some, it meant that that person whose name has been placed upon now possesses that as his own. His name is in it. His very person now is in and upon it. And he has authority there. And he will protect that. It's his. And so it says that in giving this blessing, these human beings, these priests, and now us in the new covenant as priests, as we speak the word of God, as we join our human mouth to God's mouth, what an honor when we speak the word of blessing. We are speaking as he, And we are declaring that he is in this situation to be and to do all that is in the word, he says, that he possesses it. He has authority here. This is his situation. We are, in that sense, releasing this name, this presence of God, into the situation. So let's go back and see what he's saying here. He says, when these priests receive this word, this living, effective word, which is God's heart in sound form, they receive it into their mouth and they speak it into a situation that shall receive that blessing, which will be the presence of God manifest there. And though they will say what God has said, then it will be God himself who will bless that situation. Well, I think this means that we'd better realize what we're doing when we say God's word. In fact, when we say anything. Also, we should understand what it means when we say at the end of a prayer, in the name of Jesus. All that I've just said falls into this category. We're actually praying as he. We are speaking his word, and we have his expectancy and the fullness of his presence contained in that name is now being released in that prayer. All that is very fantastic. But it amazes me. He does not leave us in confusion as to the words that we shall use. That is, he doesn't say to the priest, now you go off and bless the people, because that would leave them sort of a little confused. What shall I say? What form shall the blessing take? What do you want me to do with this? Well, no, there's no confusion. He gives the very words that he wants the priest to use. And he's saying, this is what you shall say. And it's a very clear-cut statement of promise that's inside the blessing. See, God takes the initiative. Prayer, blessing, declaring his word in a situation begins with God. Don't think that prayer is something that begins with us when we come up with a jolly good idea that we've now got to convince God to do it. No, it begins with him. He gives the promise. And he gives the promise and puts it into our mouths and says, this is what I want you to ask. This is what you shall say. So when we say God's love in a situation, it's not that he's sort of generally positive toward us, that God is, you could say, the ultimate nice. No, it's very specific. His word comes specifically into our situation. This is exactly what his love wants to do. This is the pattern that he wills and wants to make your life look like. It begins with him. And he shares it with us in order that we can now speak it into life. So, what is this verse saying? Let's do it again. He's putting his words into the mouths of humans who are called priests, just like you are in the scripture. It's as if God is saying, let me put it like this. He is saying, this is what I desire for you. Read these words. Listen to them. This is what I want for you. But I'm not just going to do it. I'm not going to gatecrash your life with it. I want you to join me in speaking it into your life and into all the earth. Is this sinking in? He says, this body of words I'm giving to you, this is what I want, I desire, and I do so with passion. I want this for you, but I will not do it without you. This is not just going to be something that hits you on the side of the face and you have to assume it was God. No, you and I, please hear me, this is what it's saying. You and I, says the Lord, are going to do this together. Here's what I want to do. This is my heart. This is my creative word. And I'm putting it into your mouth so that you say it, and then I'll do it, and we will have done so. So, every morning, human beings, the priests, stood over the people with raised hands, and they released these words upon them every 24 hours. And the Lord blessed the people. It's an amazing fact that needs a lot more, excuse me, a lot more than just these few words. But it's the amazing fact that undergirds the entire Bible that the Lord will not do things without our involvement. So these priests, and when we do the same with the promises of God, we're not asking him to do something that's outside of his will, nor are we asking him with the doubt written all over it that, if it be your will, I wonder if this is God's will. I wonder if he's changed his mind since he said this. And I wonder if in this particular case it really meant, on and on it goes. No, that's all gone, you see. He says, I am giving into you this creative word. This word that doesn't talk about something, but is that something. And I put it into your mouth for you to speak into this situation. This, he says, is my sheer delight. This is my joy. This is my peace, to do this in your life. Therefore, the blessing, the promise that you read, already is in the heart of God. And in his speaking it, that isness in your mouth becomes made manifest in our created world. And so this blessing, and blessing itself means the power of God embracing a situation and a person. But this blessing, that which God himself wills to do, that which already is in his mouth and heart, is now, he says, I want to put it into your mouth. The fact that he gives us the words, I think, also points up that we don't know how to ask. And a lot of that is because we ask within the limits of our human brain and our human imagination. And written over human brain and human imagination is the word possible. That is, I can think with my brain things that are possible. And my imagination will only go so far. It's within the limits of what I've known as possible, or what I can stretch my imagination to think as possible. But that limits, because when I come to Scripture, if you really read it and see what God is saying in his promises, nothing is possible to us. The whole jolly lot is impossible. And so left to ourselves, we'd never come up with this. When I come to the promises of God, I stand before something so vast, my imagination can't go there. It's majestic. All we can do is stand before in wonder and awe at his love intent. So, he says, you and I are going to do this together, but I'm going to give you my words, which are my heart, and therefore are beyond your comprehension to think. They are beyond all that you could purpose and plan and even imagine. But you're going to enter into my language, into my mind, my heart, and speak what I speak. And so we are invited, you see, to learn, actually, to think and speak and imagine a new language, God language, that has in it the divine dimensions and terms. And suddenly we realize we are speaking impossible, because God's own word is in our core being and in our mouth. So we're not talking small things. That we're, you know, there are things God does, and well, anything God does is big. But I'm trying to think how to say this. There are things, and I believe it's God, but only a person that really wants to believe would agree with me. But what we're talking about here is to stretch our imagination to take in the vastness of what to us is impossible, but the possible of God, and realize that there is blessing here to impact the world, to make the world sit up and realize that this is God. Psalm 67 makes it plain that this blessing and all blessings attached to it, they're not just for us. They are for us, for sure. They begin there. But they are not for a little ghetto of believers. Let me read it. Psalm 67. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Incidentally, did you notice this, what I just read? The Psalm 67, written, at least I think 1,000 years after this blessing that we quoted when we began, but they're still using it. Only notice the language is sort of changed a bit, but you recognize immediately this is the blessing that we just read in Numbers. And 1,000 years later, they're using it for themselves. God be gracious to us, bless us, cause his face to shine upon us. Then he says, that, or in order that, or the goal of this, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among the nations. That is, he's saying, Lord, bless us, but in such a fashion that the world around knows this is God. And like it or not, they'll have to accept that. You see, all our promises that we have, everything that God does, arises out of the resurrection of Jesus and his ascension. Well, right there, if we're standing in the resurrection, if we are the priests of that which began in his ascension, come on, we've leaped outside of all the sense boundaries and barriers and limitations of this world, and we are speaking with God in Christ. We're talking his language, and we're saying, do that here. So the Holy Spirit baptizes our imagination and expands that we might see and think as he does. Or as that word in another place in Isaiah says, you know, lengthen the cords of your tent. That is, expand your tent. Think big. Think to the fullness of God's promise. Stop this whining that is associated in religion with being holy, you know, that I'm not worthy, and, you know, God, just give me a little bit, and all that sort of stuff. And well, you know, God, I know there's so many starving people in the world, but if you could spare a crust for me, you know. There's people who are dying, so you couldn't possibly be interested in my little flu. All that sort of stuff, it reeks with the rotting religion. Oh, the promises of God, the vast promises. With God all things are possible promises. No word from God is void of power kind of promises. And he says, I put them into your mouth so that you might speak them into a situation. And when you do that, I will then bless, bring that to pass. So when we do this, when we speak with the authority of God, a promise into a situation, we're not trying to make it happen. See, people get the idea, the whole idea of confession of a promise, which is very valid, by the way, but it's not to make it happen. if you say you've got this long enough, you'll get it. No, that's not what it means. We confess that the promise is because it is. It doesn't have to become. It is already in the heart of God, and he has put it out in his creative word, which is now in our lips, and we declare its isness in this situation. This is the strong hope with which we approach all our prayer and blessing. Now, when God gives his gift, and this blessing is the gift of gifts. He is giving us this blessing into every department of our life. When he gives a gift, there must be a response. Please understand this, that grace, this giving of God, is not passive. It doesn't mean that he says it and I just sit there and well, it's going to happen then. No, the grace of God brings with it an awakening of my spirit. And the rising of my spirit itself is part of the grace. And I take it, I receive that word into my life and situation. Many people sit on the sidelines in the bleachers and they hear what God is saying and they expect him to do all the playing. And God says, this is what I will. This is what my grace gift is. Now I put it into your mouth for you to say so. Or as the psalm says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That our response to his incredible word is, let it be. Let it be. Be unto me according to your word. And this again comes right around to that basic fact of creation, that we are made to work with him, together with him, which again I say is all through the scripture. Once you begin to understand what this is saying, God refuses to be alone and act alone. He created us to be with him in this covenant sense, and he chosen the very beginning to do all his work within creation, in us and through us. Relationship. If he just does something, there's no relationship. We just watch him do it. But what I'm trying to outline here is this incredible relationship that is, he's in you with his word in your lips, and you're in him, and you speak, and he does the work. So these human beings, these priests, and again I say much more so you in the new covenant, we are transmitters of the heart of God into the situation that we find ourselves in today. It's interesting, I said before, that this was done every 24 hours. The morning sacrifice, the people went into their day with this blessing laid upon them. Now, the fact it was repeated, and the same words repeated daily, does not mean that God must be nagged into doing something. Remember, this wasn't human idea. The priests didn't invent this blessing and then hope that God would do it if they said it enough. No, this is the gift of God. This is his creative, living, personal energy in their mouths that is the bringing forth of the content of what they say, for it's what he says. The blessing is his presence communicating himself, poured into us, us speaking in harmony with him. And therefore, we are part of his transmitting his divine love and energy of that love. So repetition every day is just awakening it to an even greater extent to the living presence of God that is those words. So did you get that? We're not trying to convince God to do it. Rather, we are becoming conduits. We're the pipelines through which God's desire flows continually into life. And so the repetition of a promise, it's not, the Bible speaks of vain repetition, cookie. You can sit there like a parrot and just say it. But to enter into its words and enter into everything I've said in the last 45 minutes and to realize what you are actually doing, it has the effect that you are bathing in the living word of God. And you are calling this situation, you're bringing these persons that you are blessing into that bathing word. And you're receiving this creative word of God in it's being embedded into the very mind pathways, the synapses upon which all your thoughts flow. And what happens, this word, well, it says the word of God is like a hammer, breaks the rock in pieces, and it can smash those habitual thoughts of negative thoughts and limited thoughts, and the word of God does a work inside of you as well as in your mouth and through your mouth. It's we learn an imagination where we begin to see a situation bathed in the blessing and presence of God, instead of an imagination that sees disaster, which gives you anxiety, which excludes the light of God from your thinking. No, instead we see in our imagination, at the teaching presence of the Holy Spirit, we see the light of God in the situation. We see his provision and protection, and we see his love to us. Comes to us. So, put it this way. You can see a shaft of sunlight coming through a window, and you can stand beside that shaft of sunlight, and you can talk about it, you could lecture about it, you could discuss all the science behind sun, sunlight, and so on and so on. Or you could get inside that shaft of sunlight and look directly up into it. And that is totally, now you're warmed by the sunlight and you are having to close your eyes for the radiant glory of that sun that's pouring into your room. Do you see the difference? You can stand outside that sunlight that's coming through the window and talk about it. Or you can get into it so that you're actually, you are eased in the warmth of the sun. You're not talking about it. You are in the actual participation in it and of it. And you are looking into its source, its radiance. Let this word of God be that which you stand into. And realize that it is now creating its effects within you and in your mouth sent out in your situation and all that it's directed to. It's a matter. Okay, let me put it like this. There are many believers. Let me be kind in saying that. I probably should say multiple believers, but whatever. There's a lot of people who say the words of a God promise. But as they say the words, as they pray the prayers based on those promises, they are actually imagining the opposite. Do you see what I'm saying? You may say this blessing. You might have it in your mouth and speak it forth. But as you do so, you are imagining quite the opposite. You are seeing yourself alone in a situation for which there is no answer, and you are on the skids, and an avalanche is behind you, and disaster is ahead. You're imagining that while you are saying the words of God's love and protection and power in life. That's what the Bible calls double-minded. You're saying one thing but imagining another. No, you've got to bathe in this. Get inside the sunlight. Get inside the promise before you start praying and saying it. Let this promise, like a fire, burn within you. Like a hammer, break down the habitual thinking of negative. This is what this is saying. It's saying, you must say this. And as you say it, you see it. And as you say it again, you see it. And as you say it again, it became part of their life. They went out from that blessing into their daily work to act as if it is so. They have changed their core belief about themselves and about the situation in which they live. And so their greeting became, it was a shorthand version of this blessing. They went out from this blessing, and then as they met people on the street, their greeting was, "The Lord be with you," which was what this blessing is, only now in a quick shorthand version as you meet someone on the street. And their response in that hello situation was either, "And also with you," that is, you're telling me the Lord is with me, well, let me tell you, the Lord is also with you. But also, it would they would say, "The Lord be with you," and the response was often, "And the Lord bless you," which again is back to this blessing. So they can you imagine going to work and everybody you meet on the road, "The Lord bless you," "The Lord be with you," and again, his creative word. They didn't make that up. They didn't decide that would be a jolly good way of greeting people. That came out of this blessing. So now it's got inside of them. They're hearing it every 24 hours. And so now it comes out and they proclaim into their day. And they proclaim every time they meet another, "The Lord is with you. The Lord be with you. The Lord is blessing you." And when it came down to an intense personal level, it went to what we've talked about many times before, where David especially said, "The Lord is my." Well, that really is distilling this blessing. But he is saying, "The Lord is my rock, the Lord is my shield, the Lord is my glory, the Lord is the lifter of my head, the Lord is my light, my salvation, my shepherd," and so on and so on. And what is he saying? All that God has said, he is that to me. He is that to me now in this situation. And I rise above the situation, looking straight up into the sunlight and saying, "That's the way it is. I am a blessed person. The Lord is with me. He is shining countenance toward me. His eye is upon me. I am blessed. I am kept. He is gracious toward me. I have peace. Became their conversation. Became the way they thought. This is confession. The word confess is a Latin word. It's come into English. Con means with. Fess, together. So what we're saying, we say together with. We're saying together with God all that he has said. We say together with God what he is now saying concerning this situation. We say it with him. We say it back to him with a smile on our face and greeted with his smile as he said, I said that. That's it. We're together, we're absolutely joined together in this creative word, which in the New Testament is not only called confession, but it's called the word of faith. And that is, I am stating what God says is, because it is. Huh. And so, we say these words over our life, and we're not embarrassed how many million times we say them. There are parts of Scripture, and I might say, if we had time to go into that, have shaped my life, has defined my ministry, in fact, has brought forth my ministry. I have said those blessed words, I don't know how many times, because it was in my late teens when I saw this truth. And I began to bless myself, bless my house, bless my work, bless my ministry, bless my studies, bless. And so every day, sometimes it would be morning and noon and night when I would let the living, creative word of God dance in my mouth. And I would say it. And my congregations, if I knew them, I'd go over each one of them. But if not, to see them in my imagination being blessed and over and over. So now here I am coming on 80 years old, and I began doing this when I was 16 or 17. How many times have I repeated this living word of God? I don't know. Does it really matter? Because it's not vain repetition. Each time I have stepped into that sunlight of his blessing, I've discovered more of the power of that blessing. And then see it happen, and with delight return that it shall happen here. And I place and put his name there and his blessing there. It is so. And yet, of course, as we do that, you say, it sounds like you're traffic director of the blessing of God. You're saying we need the blessing of God here, and we need the blessing. Yes, absolutely. I'm glad you said that. That's absolutely what I've been saying. He has put us into the earth to direct his name, his presence, here and here. And in our mouth, we bless here. And here, well, doesn't that mean that we've sort of taken over? Not at all. It means that we're workers together with him, as the New Testament puts it. But notice how the verse ends. He says, and then I will bless them. So he's not saying you become the source of this blessing. No, you are directing his name, his blessing. And when all is said and done, he is the one who blesses. What a partnership we're talking about here. Look, you understand me. Your personal life, your personal everything, your home, your family, the office and all the persons in it, the factory floor, the construction site, if you're a politician in the House of Representatives, it doesn't matter where you find yourself. Nor do you have to stand up and shout and make a big deal about this. Just quietly, sometimes with a look, sometimes with the sending forth of your imagination, in your private time as you see the face of the person that you're blessing, and I can actually reach out my hands in my imagination and put my hands on their head and bless them. I've done that to many of you that are listening right now. Our words become one with His words, and we're energized by His presence, calling into manifestation that which already is in the invisible of Him. And so we go into the day, into our work, with the love energy of the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face, His very presence, to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you His peace. And it doesn't matter what situation you are in, that is going to bring that blessing into that situation. Well, time is gone, and my throat has been not too conducive to talking, so forgive me if it's been annoying, but I just had to get this message to you. Again, we do thank you so much for your gifts, and you are one, you are together with us in this ministry, and we are. We deal out the love of God in the fashion I've taken the last hour to explain. And we do it one by one by one, changing people's lives one at a time. That's this ministry. And we are doing it and have done it these multiple decades. And one thing I would share with you, for those of you that the Spirit might quicken and cause you to want to be part of it. We are in need of a machine on the ranch. It is, dear Lord, I've forgotten the name of it as I sit here in front of this microphone. It's the Bobcat. That's the word, yes. The Bobcat that can lift and move and do stuff. As many of you know, a number of months ago, we were flooded at the ranch under 18 feet of water, and it left behind, obviously, many trees down and things moved, and we received nothing from the government agencies that came to town, allegedly to help, but they passed through town and said there were people in much more need than us. And so all this stuff is scattered around the ranch, and if we could get a Bobcat, we could move it and restore order to many, many places on the ranch. And if the Lord puts it into your heart to help us do that, we would receive that with great joy and thank you for this very material but very important work. And next week, as of your receiving this, we shall be doing Module 5 in our Bible school. It's one of the most important modules dealing with the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So if the Holy Spirit brings us to mind, pray for us. We have 50 students that are eager and hungry for the Word of God. And let me say this. We are in process, so don't run with this, don't call the office, please. But we are in process of putting this Bible school onto DVD so that you can access it wherever you find yourself in the world. And there are many people that just can't wait for that. But I want you to know we are in process of producing the first module, and of course we'll let you know when that time comes. Pray for us. It's a big, big thing we're doing. But do not call the office. They don't know anything as to when this will be, and I will let you know. But do pray for us. Well, there it is. I am thrilled to be able to share with you. I again thank you for your giving and look forward to our fellowship in the weeks ahead. Go with the blessing that we have talked in this last hour. And remember, with every step you take, the Lord be with you and the Lord bless you. For the Lord is, for you to live is Christ. Amen.